Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Prasuta of the DVE Morning Show. Well, one significant accomplishment for this 2012 NFL season was taken care of yesterday. Saw Cleveland in a rearview mirror. Don't have to go back till next year.
Be another 364 days, give or take.
Right. Man. Steelers at Browns on the shores of Lake Erie. 2009-ish. Different, but still a lot of poor play by the Steelers in terms. This time, the turnovers. A level of epic carelessness. No team has had 8 turnovers in a game in the NFL since 2001. I mean, there's a lot of Jaguars games in there, you know. Seriously, it's and for it to be the Steelers in this situation to me was highly disappointing. We had talked for 2 weeks about you're playing without your franchise quarterback, so everybody in a helmet and everybody in a headset has to pick up their game a little bit. 8 turnovers to me indicates exactly the opposite.
Yeah, you're not even getting representative play, not forget Superman or somebody
above and beyond
stepping
right
out of their role and doing something spectacular. 2 games in a row there's been a wide receiver false starting. That to me is the height of carelessness, lack of focus, laissez-faire. That should never happen. It can't happen when your backup quarterback's in or your third string quarterback is in. And you saw again penalties at the wrong time. The return game has gone away.
Yes.
Don't know where, don't know when it'll be back.
Maybe when Antonio Brown comes back.
That's something that can help you tilt field position and help your offense, which is limited. I know it's not supposed to be easy without the franchise quarterback, but it's not supposed to be this hard either.
Yeah, you know, and when I look at it, you wanted to be the kind of team like New England and Indianapolis and Green Bay, you know, with a franchise quarterback, New Orleans, a guy who is a difference maker, a guy who can help you to contend for and win championships. But what the Steelers now have become is, to me, the 2011 Indianapolis Colts, in a sense. Because when Ben's not there, they can't win. Can't.
Yeah, that's a shame because they're wasting some pretty good defense.
Right. It's wasting some very good defense.
I say pretty good or very good, not great, because even though there was a pick
right
six yesterday, I just got done reading your digest column this week, and I thought it was well stated. They've got to turn the ball over more. They just have to. It's part of the deal.
It's not a recent thing. I mean, this has now been going on. Really, I went back and Black Sunday, that game against the Browns in 2010. Since then, the Steelers have only recovered 15 fumbles in, let's see, it would be 11 games, 16 games, and about 11 games. So, I mean, that's over 30 games. 35 games or something like that, virtually 3 full seasons. The Browns were bringing it. The Browns' defense was bringing it. They were separating people from the football, and, you know, from everything I could tell, they were doing it legally. There were no flags for any of that stuff. I didn't really think I can't recall any situations where I thought a flag should have been thrown on one of those hits where the ball came out. And, you know, the Steelers lost 5 fumbles, but they got lucky based on the placement of the sideline a couple of times. It could have been a couple more.
And one time Will Johnson happened to be lying on the ground.
Right,
right
when the ball,
fell right to him, and he was just able to reach out and corral it. But, it's mystifying. I thought the Steelers delivered some hard hits yesterday, but apparently not enough of them. Clearly not enough of them because the ball was not turned over. And it was not caught either, which is also not – just this year thing.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's there were 3 that hit Steelers defensive backs in the hands yesterday. 2 hit Ike Taylor. Excellent coverage on both of those. The undercutting of the out route that, you know, if you catch it cleanly and can gather your balance, sometimes that's in the end zone too.
Or even if it's not, sometimes it's what Sheldon Brown did to the Steelers. It's first and 10 almost in the red zone.
Right.
And then the ball ends up in the end zone a couple plays later.
Yeah. You know, quarterback, we touched on that a little bit already. Obviously, it's a significant problem. I don't expect Ben Roethlisberger back this week. Do you?
I talked to him briefly after the game yesterday, asked him any update on your availability for the Ravens. He said, I don't know. We're going to evaluate it every day. And then he said, I don't know. Honestly, truthfully, I don't know.
Yeah, I believe him.
What he didn't say was, no chance.
Yeah.
What he didn't say is, yeah, I'm going to play.
Right. And I believe that he
call that a no-news lead in the industry.
Well, I believe that he doesn't know. I was just offering what I perceive to be the way the wind's blowing.
If I'm making the call, there's no way he's playing.
Okay.
And I'm usually a guy that says, hey, when you're healthy, you're a pro, this is what you do, get in there. I think this season comes down to the last four games and how the Steelers perform in the last four games in terms of whether they make the playoffs or not. And I think the odds of winning those four with a absolutely positively, I know he's healthy and rested and okay and ready to go, Ben Roethlisberger, are better than, okay, he's back, get him in there against Baltimore, let's see, can that game be won?
Yeah, I'm not willing to wave the white flag either, but I agree with you. To me, this Ravens game coming up is a little bit different than the 49ers game last year. The 49ers game was a clear opportunity
to see something.
Seize something, yes, and late in the year, yeah. Too. Then he thought he could go, whatever, you went for it, it didn't work out, fine. This the division thing, to me, that ship has sailed. I mean, you're virtually mathematically eliminated the first week of December. So, I agree with you. I think you got to look big picture a little bit and see what gives you the best opportunity, you know, down the road. Some of these other injury situations, I mean, I would like to see Antonio Brown this week, though, play a little bit.
Can't hurt.
And you got to have Marcus Gilbert, I think. You got to have him.
Yeah, because Mike Adams left the stadium in a walking boot yesterday, so I would say.
Yeah, I mean, and the way.
Based on my medical knowledge, thinking he's not going to be a ghost.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, the way that happened, you know, they showed it, you know, that bend back thing where the ankle gets pinned and your body weight goes the other way. That's usually high ankle sprain looking kind of thing. So that's what I'm going to guess until I hear otherwise. And there's no way that a man that big who sustains that injury at that point in a game is coming back the very next week. So
especially a guy whose value to you is because he's that big and can move.
Right. Right.
If he's hobbling around out there, then he's not Mike Adams.
Yeah, and you would put him out there, you know, against a defense that, Suggs can still do some things in situations that, can alter the outcome of a game. And so, yeah, I wouldn't put him out there. I don't know that it's fair to him. And so Marcus Gilbert, to me, is someone that needs to step up. And, Troy. The whole thing, the takeaway thing on defense, when it has not been a problem, Troy has been five or more interceptions, that kind of player. Now, obviously, I don't think he's going to get there this year, but, you know, you can start looking at this defense and how it takes the football away, as you mentioned, starting in December. You know, that can be like the start of a time that you evaluate them rather than over the course of an entire season, because they're never going to catch up based on how far they've fallen behind in the statistical categories.
Yeah, but it might come down to a four-game season.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could. And, you know, the game in Dallas, while a NFC game and not necessarily a tiebreaker thing, could be critical in simply the one loss. You know what I mean? You might need that as a win, period, as opposed to as a loss to, just get to where you need to be.
Well, here's what's interesting about the stretch run. If we're taping this on Monday.
Yes, the day after the Browns game.
If the Eagles lose to Carolina on the Monday night game,
mm-hmm.
then Cincinnati and Pittsburgh both have opponents left that have 27 wins and 28 losses. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh both play Baltimore, Dallas, and San Diego in the final five games, and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh both play each other. That'll be December the 23rd here at Heinz Field. So it doesn't get a whole lot more even than that in terms of, you know, it'll be decided on the field against the same opponents. The only different opponent the rest of the way, Pittsburgh has one more game with Cleveland, and Cincinnati will play Philadelphia, which the Steelers have already played. Bengals have already played the Browns twice.
The thing, though, about the Bengals game against the Ravens is it is at the end of the year. I think the Ravens might be pretty much locked into whatever seed they may be. Who knows? Maybe, you know.
Maybe not. Maybe they're still battling Houston.
New England. I think New England for the first round bye. I think if I'm Baltimore, I want a week off. I don't care if I'm one or two.
Yeah.
One would be great, but one or two. And so New England.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
New England has three losses. Denver has three losses. So if I think the Ravens.
I don't know though, with that home field thing they got going, they might value home ice throughout the postseason.
Well, either way, but the Ravens have beat. They defeated the New England Patriots earlier, and they have
slaughtered by Houston.
Yeah, but they have the Denver Broncos. I'm looking at the three lost teams. Denver is, to me, still very much in the running for a bye. Right. So
why wouldn't they be? Who's
exactly,
the quarterback?
Well, the great Peyton Manning. I mean, of course. But anyway, let me just say this: once the Steelers lost yesterday. I wasn't really rooting for San Diego to beat Baltimore.
No, that helped, I think.
Right, I'd rather have them 4-7.
Unless it got the Chargers cowed, and now they're cowering in the corner, and they're not going to give the Bengals a fight this week.
Well, who knows? Maybe
maybe if San Diego was still a six-loss team, it would perceive itself more in the playoff picture and have a little something for Marvin Lewis.
Well, since we're just creating a story to fit the narrative, how about this? Maybe this week, since they're in San Diego, they win one for Norv.
Last stand time.
Yeah, and then when they come to Pittsburgh, it's going to be 11 o'clock and they're body and cold. Yeah. Forget it.
Hey, I like the way that sounds.
Anyway, you know, I don't know.
Grab at this juncture, any possible scenario is worthy of consideration.
But let me just ask you this. Does the fact that this team now has lost back-to-back games, based on the fact that, you know, again, you're not going to Baltimore to forfeit, but I think that it would be a significant upset to leave there with a win. So now you're three losses in a row kind of team. Does that mean anything? About their ability to then win three or four in a row?
I wouldn't think so. I asked that question to a number of players yesterday. Just potentially confidence shaking. Are you rattled? Are you guys about fixing to come unglued, as a great man once said? And it was no, 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 no. James Harrison put it best. He said, I'm a really strong-minded guy, and so are my teammates. I'm not losing my confidence. And I think the Steelers also get what the NFL has become, and it's about the next game and where you are, not what you've done. And all you got to do is get in the tournament. Everybody knows that. The Steelers have proven that. The year the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl, it took four straight wins at the end to get them in. The New York Giants can speak to this. It's not what you're perceived to be the weekend after Thanksgiving. It's where you are the first week of January in terms of can you get to February or not. And it's like college basketball anymore. You get in a tournament, you got a shot.
You know, in support of what you're just saying, I offer you your New York Football Giants. Lost to the Steelers and the Bengals in a row. Just slaughtered the Packers last night. I mean, it was Green Bay at the end. I kind of had it on. Green Bay kind of gave up the last 4 minutes and 20 seconds. They took Aaron Rodgers out of the game. They just ran the ball up the middle and pretty much ran out the clock themselves.
Four-minute offense.
Yeah. So.
Hey, Rodgers!
But.
I like those commercials.
Yeah, they are pretty funny. I like
the one that's really funny is when they have the fat little kid.
In the school.
Imitating the fat guy.
Yeah.
He's got the cheese head.
Yeah. Well, and then they have the smart aleck kids in the class, too. That's not a real job, you know.
Maybe you should have looked off the safety and dumped it down to the tight end.
But
girl was right, by the way.
What's that?
Good advice.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Look off the safety and dump it down to the tight end.
So I guess it's another week with Charlie Batch. I mean, I don't imagine Byron Leftwich's broken ribs are going to heal. We don't think we're going to see Ben.
Hoyer's probably not an option.
Well, I'll tell you what I would try.
Smart guy though, Bob.
Well, this is what I would try to do with him. And again, I think the Ravens defense might be a little bit difficult to attempt this, but I would try to get him some sort of package that he can execute. I don't know, 10 plays, 12 plays that he knows enough with the different permutations. And you know, because if you get in a situation like last week again. Obviously, I you know, sticking with Charlie Batch was the only option in my mind yesterday. Brian Hoyer putting him in there, I think would send the wrong message to the rest of the team because he cannot. It's just not fair. He cannot execute. He doesn't know enough. This week, you know, maybe he can know a little bit more. That if you get in a situation where you believe that you can't win with the quarterback play you're getting. Then to me, it behooves you to try and change to see if you know, maybe you can escape. If it's a close game, you know, those kind of things, and it obviously is quarterback play that is holding you back. You know, maybe try Hoyer a little bit this Sunday.
Yeah, I would think at some point. I've never had to make one of these decisions. Despite I know I sound like a GM, I sound like a coach.
Well,
these
yeah.
Things. People might be surprised. I've never been either one of those things. But I would think at some point it becomes not about player A does it better than player B, but at some point it becomes about is player A above or below the acceptable line. And I think if you fall below the acceptable line, then you start grasping at straws and trying something else just to try something else.
Yes. And the other thing that I believe – you know, is important is for the coach, you know, and this is how I think you lose the locker room. You know, I think that, you know, pulling Batch yesterday sends the wrong kind of message to guys like Harrison and those people because.
I thought he played very well yesterday.
I did too.
Looked like there was a little burst there that I haven't seen lately.
And he was running down things from the backside. I mean, yeah, he was he's coming along. That's one of the things, you know, when you talk about a four-game season that I like, you know, that gives you a little bit of hope, you know, for, you know, what this team might be able to accomplish if everybody can somehow work their way back onto the field. But, you know, back to the quarterback thing, there's two things. You don't want to lose the locker room by making it appear that you have given up and you're just playing a new guy. By the same token, you also don't want to stick with a guy that everybody knows can't play to the detriment of the group. So, you know, it's not an easy thing for a coach. And we'll let Mike Tomlin make that call, and then me and you will second guess it after it's over. That'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For
a little
Mike
discount
Pursuta.
Double check on the second guess.
Absolutely. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. That's why they pay us the big bucks. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.